We're in a series called Conversations with Jesus. Conversations with Jesus. And here's what I know. When you begin to have a conversation with somebody, you begin to develop to know their heart. Hello? You begin to know and develop your heart. You know their heart and they know your heart. And what I was thinking about, how many times I think it's so important, I think every believer, at least once every 4 months or 5 months or every 3 months, you need to go to a wedding, you need to go to a funeral. Because both of those things bring home to me a soberness to life and an understanding of what relationship with Jesus is all about. Because when I think about a marriage, I think of the great wedding feast of the Lamb that we're all going to attend. Hello? When I think of a funeral, I think of a loved one, a saint, going home to be where we're going to join them soon. And how many of you know, in our series, Conversation with Jesus, the more we have a conversation with someone, the more we know them, the more they know us. And as a result, you can't separate me from my wife. There's no way to separate Melissa and I because of our conversations, because of our time together. Nothing will be able to separate us from that. And I'm hoping that as you're spending time with the Lord and having conversations with Him yourself, that your love for Him is going to grow so strong and you understand His love for you, that nothing can ever separate you from your God. That you'll never have a temptation to fall away from your first love. Because unfortunately, in the book of Revelation, that was one of the things that John is going to see as the John the Revelator. He says, listen, I'm going to have to write some things against one of the churches. One of the churches said, listen, you've left your first love. And I don't ever want that to happen to us. And so when we go through a series like this, when we look at the conversations that Jesus is going to have with people, two things are going to happen. One, we're going to better understand the heart of God. Number two, when we encounter people, and we're going to encounter all types of folks, aren't we, as we go through this walk, as we live here in East Texas and sometimes get to venture outside of the Wood County into the other parts where they sure live differently than we do. That's okay, though. God still loves them, and we're a little out of our comfort zone, and it's always good to come back home, amen? It's great to visit. I love San Antonio. I was born and raised there. I lived there for 34 years before we moved to East Texas. But how do you know, every time I go back to San Antonio, now I go, it's a great place to visit. It's a great place to visit. I don't miss the traffic. I don't miss a lot of things, and I love to be able to come home and come back to East and drive to East Texas and see those pine trees waiting for me. It's Lord has blessed us to be able to live here. All right, if you're in Luke chapter 5, say, I got it. Father, we thank you today that you are here with us to encourage us to see these lives that you changed as you had conversations with them. And Father, today I thank you for your heart coming out in this message. God, that you are a God who's willing. You're a God who cares, and you're a God who's able. We thank you for that today, and all God's people said, amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 12, and it happened when Jesus was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full. Everyone say full. There's a lot of things you want to be full of, but leprosy is not one of them. He was full of leprosy, and he saw Jesus. Now, last week, it was the other way around. Jesus saw Matthew. But this week, this man saw Jesus. And he fell on his face, Matthew says, and worshiped. And he implored Jesus, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Here's a man who's living with something that I don't even hardly want to think about. It's leprosy. It starts off as just spots on your skin. And then these spots begin to become sores. You lose your nerve endings that you can't feel the pain. And then your fingers begin to fall off. Ooh, you ooze right. It is not a pretty thing that this man has. And because you have this, you have now become ceremonially unclean. You can't go and be in society with everyone else. You can't go to the temple and worship. If you approach a group of people, as soon as you get within 30 feet or so, you must cry out to them, unclean. Because if you get inside their circle of their comfort zone and you didn't warn them, by law, they were able to pick up a rock and throw it at you. Now, how many of you know today that leprosy, we can read into it and understand that leprosy it represents sin in people's lives. That people become unclean. And that sin causes decay and sin begins to cause death, just like leprosy does. And it's interesting to me that Scripture says that there are some people whose consciences have been seared so that they don't even feel anything when they sin. Now, when I was young in the ministry, I was working a lot in the sound ministry. I was back at the soundboard, and the cords get broken all the time. You know how you fix a broken cord? You solder it. And so I was dealing with soldering guns. And one day I left my soldering gun plugged in, but I didn't realize it. And I went to go tighten the tip. It hurt for about a half a second, and then I felt no pain. It had seared my nerve endings so bad that I felt no pain. That's what sin does to people. They get seared. And here's a man who's an outcast. He's unclean. And he's going to ask a question to Jesus that I think a lot of people want to ask. Lord, are you willing to help me with my situation? I believe that you can. Lord, are you willing to help me with my situation? And he probably, when he said that to him, understanding who Jesus was, again, he came and what did he do? He bowed down, he worshiped. As he bowed down, he was expecting a verbal response. Instead, you know what he got? He got a hand on his shoulder. Jesus touched him. This is huge, church. This is huge. For Jesus, the compassion came out of his heart for this leper. And yes, he's going to tell them, I'm willing, and be cleansed. But before he does that, Jesus touches him. Now you have to understand, for a Jew to touch a leper, this is like kissing a pig and then say, come over to my house for spiral ham. I mean, this is really serious for Jesus. Because listen, once you touched and came in contact with a leper, you had to go through a whole ceremonial process of being clean yourself. And yet, how many of you know there's nothing like the hand of God to be touched by? Oh, I'm so excited. He touched me. Come on. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know. 'Cause he touched me, made me whole. 'Cause I was shackled by a heavy burden, but Jesus touched me. How many of you know Jesus is in the business of touching people? And he asked the question, Lord, are you willing? And Jesus said, yes, I am willing. Be cleansed. How many of you know this today, church? The heart of God is, he's always willing. And he's always able. But the problem is, most of the time, man gets in the way. Man with his values, man with his twisted humanistic thoughts gets in the way of God moving. Can I encourage you today? Do not let your faith, do not let your heart be shaken today. The same God who rolled the Red Sea back for the Israelites, the same God who was able to stop the sun for Joshua to fight the fight, the same God who was able to turn the water into the wine is still able to do for you exactly what you need in your life. Give God a praise. Amen. He's God. And immediately the leprosy left him. Immediately the God, the miracle power of God was released in this man's life. Why? All because, number one, he was willing to come and ask. Lord, I'm coming today asking out of my need. Are you willing? And Jesus says, I am willing. How many of you, God is so, his heart is so big when it comes to seeing people and seeing need, that when we come to him and with believing in our hearts, with faith in our hearts. Now, we quote this scripture so many times. Rick quoted it already once this morning. You didn't realize it. But let's look at it in Ephesians chapter 3 and let's understand something. Because there's a reason why some people get the full meal deal and others miss out on the fullness of what God has for them. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do, say it with me, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And then we stop right there. But here's the condition. According to the power that works in us, to the degree that we allow God to move in our lives, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. And there becomes the problem. Man puts boundaries and puts limits on God. He does do exceedingly abundantly when we allow our hearts to be completely open and we see no limitations and we see no boundaries to God's love and God's power. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. But how do you know the God who has no limits limits himself to the hearts and the prayers and the faith of man? The God who has no limits. There's nothing too hard. The God who said, let there be light. And there was light. The God who created the universe just with his words limits himself to people's hearts. How do we know this? Mark chapter 6, look at the scripture on the screen. Jesus, when he went back to Nazareth, Mark chapter 6, verse 5. Now he could do no mighty works there. Jesus, the Son of God, could do no mighty works there. Why? Unbelief. They said, isn't this Jesus, the one who grew up, the carpenter's son? And didn't he have these brothers and these sisters? And Scripture says, now this is what's interesting, he couldn't do any mighty works there except that Jesus laid his hands on a few sick people and they were healed. And I'm thinking, Lord, help us. We've gone today now where if we have a few sick people, we lay hands on the sick and they get healed, we'd be having a revival. And yet here Jesus is saying, all he did was lay his hands on a few sick people and they got healed. Why? Because again, the God of all creation with no limit to his power and love and his might limits himself to man. and man's willingness to cooperate with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's go on. Let's look at the next man Jesus is going to have a conversation with. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. I'm starting in verse 1. And there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate. Hey, we all know where the Sheep Gate is, don't we? We've been talking about that for the last few months. There is a Sheep Gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, and he stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. So I want you to get in your mind this great multitude of people, all of them in great need. All of them in great need. Now, there was a certain man who was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. But when Jesus saw him, just like when Jesus saw Matthew last week, the tax collector, at his toll booth, when Jesus saw them lying there, and he knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to be made well? The sick man said, Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water stirred up, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus says these words to him, Rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. How many of you know, we stated this last week, but it's worth repeating again. We need to understand this. Number one, Jesus knows. Hello? Jesus knows. When he saw the man, he already knew that he had been in that condition a long time. Jesus knows your pain. Jesus knows your hurts. Jesus knows your disappointments. Why? Because he's God, and God is, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. But you know what? We wouldn't have a Savior if he was just all-knowing. Hello? We would not have a Savior if he was just all-knowing. Because how many of you know, when we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, the priest, he saw, he knew, but he didn't care. But how many of you know, Jesus cared. Not only did Jesus know this man's condition, but Jesus cared. And we see it all through the Bible, don't we? Jesus cared enough to weep. He wept over Jerusalem before he went into Jerusalem riding on the foal. He wept at his friend's death, Lazarus, and all those who were around him. He cared enough to carry my sins and your sins to an old rugged cross, didn't he? Why? Because he values us. We are so special to him. And the people that the Lord's going to have in your path this week, he wants you to value them too. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And yet not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. We're gonna hone in on something today. I want you to understand this. Our Heavenly Father's will. Now, the first man we met already asked Jesus, are you willing? And Jesus said, oh yes, I am willing. Not one of these sparrows falls from the ground apart from the Father's will. But here's how special and important valuable you are to God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now I'm looking out this morning and I say, the Lord says, it's easier for some of you to keep track. Do not fear, because you are of more value than many sparrows. God values us so much. How much? 2 Peter said this is how much. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Verse 2 Peter 3:9, as some men count slackness. But he has long suffered towards us, not willing. Everyone say, not willing. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But how do you know this today? God never forces his will. God never forces his will on anyone. But his will is that none would perish. But what's the sad truth? There are many that are perishing everywhere, all around us. And now, here comes maybe the most bizarre question to most people who read the Bible. It's the same way that Jesus came to blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" He's going to ask this man who's been laying there for how long, kids? 38 years. He's going to ask them, he's going to ask him, "Do you want to be made well?" Knowing he's been there. What is Jesus trying to show us here? What is he trying to teach us here? There's a truth. Most people really don't want the answer that Jesus has for them, which is rise, take up your bed and walk. I don't want that bed to define your past anymore that you've been carrying for the last 30 years. Get up. Someone say, get up. At our assembly we had with our kids this week, we had an evangelist come in and share their testimonies about how rough their life was. And what do they tell us to do, guys? Sometimes we just got to push. Push. You got to persevere until something happens. How many of you know sometimes we got to push? We got to be able to willing to say, you know what? I've been in this situation for a long time, but it's time to get up. We can moan, we can complain about our situation, or you can take up your bed and walk. Why? Because Scripture says in Hebrews, that's faith. And faith without works is dead. And sometimes we got to have a little faith. We got to carry around. Now, I don't know about you, but in my philosophy or my mind, I would have really preferred to Jesus to come into the temple or come into that place where everybody was and give a little Jedi wave. And everybody in the whole porch would have been healed. But he didn't. You know why? There's a truth we're going to see today. God's will is for everyone to be saved and healed. But the truth is, not everybody wants to be saved and healed. Hello? That's the truth. And so we've got to recognize this when we're going and dealing with people. The last 2 weeks, we spent dealing with men who were not willing to do their part. What is our part as believers? Anytime you lead someone to Jesus, you share this with them, don't you? Our part is simply A, B, C. First, we admit that we're a sinner. Second, we believe that Jesus died on a cross for us and is willing to forgive our sins. And then thirdly, we confess him as Lord. We confess him as the only way, truth, and life. The men last week we looked at, the last 2 weeks, were not willing to do their part. And it helps us to understand the truth today. In Matthew 22, Jesus is telling a story about people, and particularly about believers receiving gifts. And at the end of the story, Jesus makes this incredibly harsh, brash statement. But it's truth, church. Then the king said to the servants, Matthew 22, verse 13. The king said to the servants, "Take this servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called. Everyone say many. Many are called, but few respond to the call. Many are given the opportunity to be set free, to walk a brand new life. But it's going to require them to get up and to leave all their way of doing things and all their old friends behind. For 38 years, this man came to this place, hung out with his buddy, shared stories, and but once in a while the water got stirred and there was a quick scramble to get into the pool. But for the most part, this man had come into a lifestyle that he'd become very accustomed with. And that's the reason why I believe but in his heart, he really wanted to change. And whatever it took to change, he was willing to do it. And so when Jesus walked in, what did he do? When it says he saw him, he saw his faith. He saw his heart that he really wanted to change. He didn't want to stay the same. Because he knows he could have went to most of them and said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And most of them said, I don't want to. Deep down, I'm kind of happy in this lifestyle. Many are called. Many are called, but few are chosen. God is calling today. The call of God is strong. And many are called, but unfortunately, few are chosen. And as a pastor, I stand before you today on this Pastor Appreciation Month. And again, it hits me as I see people and encounter people. I'm responsible as a pastor for shepherding the souls of people and imparting truth to them. Because I was at a great party last night. We had sinners. It's the type of party Jesus would have wanted to been at. It was a great party. But I began to think, Lord, what are we doing with the gospel? Why is it sometimes that we share the word and we share the truth with our children, and we do this, and then when they grow up, they decide, you know what? God probably will understand that I can live in sin, and it's okay. I'll still come to church even, but I'm just going to keep living in sin. And then I read this scripture that many are called and few are chosen, and I'm like, man, Lord, I hope I'm wrong about them because I want to see them in glory. I want to see these children that I've imparted truth to throughout the years. I want to see them walk in the streets of gold. Because in my heart, I believe it's more than just praying a prayer. It's more than just praying a prayer and saying, God, I ask you into my heart. And now I'm just going to keep on living my life any way I want. John, I would have given anything last night to Ben and been able to share about a marriage supper of the Lamb and those who are going to get to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because it's only those who have their names written in the Lamb's book of life will be at the marriage supper, the great marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm going to be there. I am confident and I am so excited. I know my family's going to be there. My dad and mom are going to be there. My daughters are going to be there. Praise God. But then as I looked around last night, I saw those. And I said, God, they may not be there. And it hurt so bad. Because I know God's heart for them is a heart that he had. He's willing. He's willing. But are we willing? Are they willing to do their part? I want to close with a scripture this morning. Stand with me this morning. Rick, come.